Psalm 46, if you would stand with me as we read here these 11 verses. This psalm is often called the Song of Divine Confidence. So as we think of those words, let's read here together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for your precious word. Father, we believe tonight that you are indeed, as you say, a very present help in a time of need. Our Father, tonight we are needy. Father, I believe tonight we're more needy than we have ever recognized. Lord, this preacher is needy. I need your wisdom, need your guidance, I need your help. Lord, I need your power, I need you. Lord, the best I know how, I submit myself to you, yield unto your leadership. God, I pray tonight that you might help us to realize that you are indeed the help. You are the one who is there always for us. Father, we never doubt it. We never walk away from that strong belief. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. One of the things I so appreciate about the Psalms is that we find often, I mean often, the greatness of God being proclaimed. Over and over we see God in His greatness, in His beauty, in His wonder, in these His book. One of the other things I find in the book of Psalms is how that the psalmist seemed to be in a lot of difficulty continuously, and yet God was always there. God is our refuge. He is our strength. And as he says here, a very present help in trouble. Thank God for him. The psalm divides itself into three different sections. I believe each one of them ends with the word Selah. And as you look at that word, folks have determined a number of things that they think it means. Probably the most popular is that it means something like this. You need to really think about this. This is something for you to really, really consider. And so here comes this word. In the first three verses, I believe that he is trying to teach us that he is our help no matter what the trouble might be. God is there to take us through, no matter what it is. I have found that to be true in my life. God is always, always present. There have been times that I have wondered, where are you at? There have been times I've looked and I've thought, God is not helping, when to look back to see that indeed God was at work. God is a present help in the time of need. I believe also, as we look in the next few verses, verses 4 down to verse 7, and as we read and study those, and I'm not going to take a great deal of time with that, but I believe what he is saying to us, that he will sustain us and protect us where we seek to meet with him at. If you and I are coming into the presence of God, if you and I are wanting to meet with him, God will protect that meeting place. And I believe we can apply that to our bodies as well. God will protect the fact that you and I have the wonderful privilege of as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, to take care of us until that time he takes us into his very presence. God wants us to be in that position whereby we can honor him and glorify him. I believe also as we read the last few verses there, we learn that His works declare His glory. There's a verse there that's often caught my attention. Verse number 10, He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. And as we look at the promises of God, His protection, of His presence, we need to stop and think about that. We need to be still that we might recognize that. The natural man and the carnal man, I believe, seek for noise. One of the things that I have learned as I've studied people or just watched or beheld things is folks get up in the morning, one of the first things they want to do is turn on the radio. They want to turn on the television set. They want to have some noise in their life. They get in their cars and they want to have noise, as if there is not enough traffic noise out there. You know, I have honestly sat in my home and heard people go by in their cars and it was so loud in there and the beat was so strong that it actually shook my house and shook the chair that I was in. I'm not talking about on Avenue N, I'm talking about on the freeway as they have gone by. And people are wanting that noise. I remember a football player, I can't remember his name, he later got saved, and he said this. He said, "As I was playing football and as I was in all this tough man competition," he said, "there was one thing," he said, "I never wanted a still moment. Whenever there was a still moment, I made sure that I had something on that would bring noise, because if there was a stillness, I might have to think." And so God says, "Be still and know that I am God." I believe we're to take solitude with our Heavenly Father. Galatians chapter 1. Turn there if you would with me. Galatians chapter 1. Hold your spot in Psalms. Galatians chapter 1. And the reason I want you to turn, I want you to see a word here. Galatians chapter 1. And notice with me verses 15 down to 18. In Galatians chapter 1, in verse number 15, it says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son..." What's the next word, brethren? "To reveal His Son in me, not to me." There's a big difference there. "To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. The key word there, in, not to. He knew about Christ. He had heard about Him, but what he needed to know was Him. He needed to have that realization of He in Him. To reveal His Son in me. To recognize God is indeed a very present help in the time of need. Paul's very being needed to be molded, remolded, and it needed to be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. It had been filled with self. It had been filled with knowledge. It had been filled with Bible knowledge. But what he needed was not a filling of knowledge, but he needed a filling of Christ Himself. I believe men will not listen to our message until our manner is permeated with the likeness of Christ. If you and I tonight are a bunch of sour bumpkins that walk around mad at everything, how in the world are we going to tell people about the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ? If He be not soaked with innocence and He exudes out of our very being, how in the world are we going to be able to preach the wondrous beauties of our Savior? No Bible school, no preacher's fellowship. There is nothing that can bring us about in the life of preachers or anybody else. It is only as we meet alone with God. It isn't with a schedule. It isn't with appointment. It isn't with assignments. It is that which comes with that time with God. Turn back with me to the book of Exodus, please. Chapter number 3, the book of Exodus. And chapter number 3. And notice here, we're going to speak of the life of Moses. And as we look here in Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read a number of verses, beginning in verse number 1, just to familiarize ourselves. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now let's stop and think about this for a moment. Moses, some years later, nearly 40 years earlier, wanted to try to help his brethren who were being oppressed. He tried to do it in the means of the flesh. But now, out in the wilderness, here alone with God, God meets with him, and God wants him to understand his presence, because it is now that God can work through him. It says, and Moses said, verse number 3, I will now turn aside, see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Is he not a God of the present? Is he not one who is loving to us in that present time? And he says, I know their sorrows. And I am come down, verse 8, to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. And I have also seen the oppression therewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token of thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I came to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. To this man Moses, as he began this quest of knowledge, this quest of not just knowledge but intimacy with God, as this began to come into his being, he learned of the everlasting presence of God. That he was always, always there and available. I think when God was about to begin to change some events in the nation of Israel, and now instead of the formation of Israel, we find that Israel is going to be taken into captivity. We find that God brings onto the scene some prophets, and one of those prophets was Elijah. And Elijah had to learn from God that he was a present help in the time of need. And as Elijah pronounced upon that land the drought that was to be there, God took Elijah and took him by the brook Cherith, and there he fed him with the ravens. And later the brook dried up, and the ravens quit coming, and instructing go to a widow woman, not a rich man, but to a widow woman. And she's preparing their last meal, but you go there and I will sustain you. And this man Elijah learned that God is a very present help in trouble. Not that which is future. Not that which we can look back to and say, yes, God helped me there. We're talking about right now. God is interested in you and in me and wants to help us right now. I think of the disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ said to them, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing. It is our God who is there to bless and to work in the time of need. Tonight as we gathered in prayer, one of the things that was mentioned was we are needy. We are needy. By the way, folks who pray generally recognize that. I have learned that God's people who don't pray, they don't recognize that. You know, it's pretty simple. Those who pray, they seek after God. Why? Because they recognize tremendous, tremendous need. And so the remark was made tonight, we are very needy. That's true of us. That's true of Open Door Baptist Church. That is true of your pastor. That's true of every person in the pew here tonight. It is true of every one of us. And God wants to help us. But there is a need that must take place, and that is this solitude with Him. It must be. As we seek to abide in Christ. There were two women that are very picturesque of this. They were the sisters of Lazarus. Jesus goes to their home on one occasion, and Martha, she's very busy. She's serving, she's doing, she's busy. And Mary is sitting there talking to Jesus. Martha comes, she's very upset with her sister, and she complains to the Lord that she is not helping. She is expecting for the Lord to rebuke Mary because Mary is sitting there at the feet of Jesus and not doing any of the household work. But the Lord makes a startling remark as He mentions that she has chosen that good part. What was that good part? To be with the Savior. The fact that Martha was self-occupied, self-centered, therefore cutting herself off from the very care of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read the book of Peter, we find an interesting verse. It says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. He is a present help in trouble. A present help when needed. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And all that comes as we're willing to be still and to know Him. Brethren, honestly, sometimes we get so preoccupied with our ministry that we neglect to know God. You've heard me tell this story, but many years ago, I sat at a table with a man who had taught Bible college for years and years. Very godly man. Honestly, if I could tell you his name, I would. I don't remember it. And he said to me something I've never forgotten. I was a young preacher at the time, and he said to me, he said, I can name you names of the so-called great men of God. Men who are well known throughout the country. He said, I have sat at dinner with them just as I've sat with you. And he says, I've asked them these questions. He says, I've asked them, how much do you read your Bible just for your own soul? He looked at me and he said, you would be amazed that most of them said never. That they only read it for study of sermons. We cannot neglect God in our life. We need to let Him speak to us. We're never going to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if we're not willing to sit down in solitude with Him and let Him speak to our hearts. Be still and know that I am God. Let God become a living reality. I believe the big problem today amongst our young people is right here. I've read statistics recently that tell us that most, I forget the actual numbers, most young people that are raised up in churches like ours depart as soon as they get out of the house. And so they began to look at it and ask themselves, why is this taking place? And in questioning those teenagers who have just dropped out, it's very interesting as they looked at that, they began to realize God is not a living reality to them. They called upon Him to save them from a place called hell. They've learned the Bible stories. They know the verses. They can repeat some of them by heart. They've memorized Scripture. But my Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart. It can be up here and not down here. And therein lies a tremendous, tremendous difference. Many of our teachers have said to me that they have been trying to get across to their students that every day ought to be relational with Jesus Christ. Decisions ought to be made upon what thus saith the Lord. There are many things out there that seek to capture the attention of our young people. There are things that come across the board that are seeking to grab them. But if they do not exercise wisdom in relationship to God, those things will destroy them. I'm thinking of a new movie that's out. It's another. By the way, this particular movie and all of its sequels has earned more money than all other movies and sequels that are out. The figures that I've heard, and they're not even done with them, the figures that are out are astronomical. But it has to do with witches and warlocks. Harry Potter might sound very innocent, but it ain't. We must dwell in our lives upon the Lord and allow Him to direct our paths in the things that we seek, in the things that we do. Daniel said, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Those who know Him, who allow Him to operate in their lives. The worst sin today in the pulpit and in the pew isn't financial. It isn't fornication. It's forgetfulness to be alone with God. Whether we are in the pew or whether in the pulpit, the problem that is taking place is not having the realization of God. Not really knowing Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, He said we must needs. He's talking about going to the place of prayer. He's talking about being alone with God. He's talking about getting away into this secret place. But we have a problem in America. Our problem is we are too busy. I said that one time years ago, and one of the ladies came to me afterwards and said, well, I'm going to quit coming to church because I've got to quit doing so many things. No, we're too busy for self. We're too busy for God. I remember talking to a fellow probably about 5-6 years ago. Doc, he was working three jobs. His wife was working 2 jobs. No children. I said, why? Oh, we're broke. I said, really? We got to work all these hours. I found out what it was all about. Once every year, they would take 1 week or 2 weeks and go on the biggest, most luxurious vacation you could think of. And I thought to myself, and I said to him, brother, you need to stop and smell the roses along the way. You're killing yourself for a really stupid reason. Oh, by the way, skip church most of the time because their jobs interfered. Out of fellowship with God most of the time because their jobs interfered. Oh, did I tell you? They got back together, but they were separated for well over a year. Still working their 3 and 2 jobs. Brethren, we need time with God to build that relationship with Him. It is absolutely necessary that we do that. What do our kids need? They need to be taught that. I was so thrilled the other day as I talked, actually with April, and she told me what she was teaching our teenage girls. She says, that's what I'm teaching. It was that kind of thing. We need to trust God moment by moment. It's not just to get to heaven. It's to get across the street. It's moment by moment, letting God have His way. We don't know God's way because we haven't been with Him. We haven't allowed that solitude. We've not taken that time to be silent and allow Him to speak to our hearts. He said, but preacher, I have my devotions. I read my chapter a day. Won't cut it. A chapter may be all you need to read. But has God spoken to your heart from it? Have you allowed Him that privilege and opportunity? Have you been still? There's a thing called meditations involved with all of that. And I don't mean sitting here. That's not meditation. Okay? Did I hold my fingers right? That's not it. It's allowing God's Word to infiltrate through your mind and your heart. Asking Him to make it a living reality. A very present help. It's not for tomorrow, it's for today. And most of God's people are going through life struggling because they do not know the moment-by-moment presence of the Spirit of God in that present help. Let me close with this thought. I believe that if you are operating in the realm of stress, you're not allowing the Spirit of God to have control of your life. See, I don't like that, preacher. Listen to what God says. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Does God lie? Mm-mm. He says he will do that when our mind is stayed on him. You know what our problem is? We allow our minds to be stayed on problems. We allow our minds to be stayed on this or that or the other thing rather than God. And you have not the peace of God. By the way, maybe you don't know it, but it shows. It shows. Stress to the soul terrorizes the body. Oh, how we need to just trust Him. It's a great place. Great place. I'm going to pick on one tonight. I've watched this in the last few weeks with a young lady. I heard her pray tonight 3 different times, Jenny. And God is doing that in her life. She's got some real obstacles to face, but God given her peace through those things. I look at some of you and the things you're going through, and yet God's given you a peace through that. I have no idea how Penny has a husband that goes 10,000 miles away. What's the difference, 10 or 20? It's too far. It takes a rocket ship for us to get there. But God can be that very present help in the time of trouble. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. Yeah. As we face the crises of old age and the many things that are there, God is there to help us. God is there to help us. Yeah, we're going to get sick and die, but God's going to take us on to the other side. But He's there to help us through all of those things. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Our problem? We are not walking with Him. We don't know where He is. He's there, but we don't recognize Him. How needed it is. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Help us to recognize and understand some great truth that must be taken in our soul. Lord, these are simple things, but yet somehow they escape us. We operate so often in the realm of rules rather than relationship with You. Lord, we look at all the laws of God and we look at all the things we're supposed to do rather than a relationship with You and allowing You just to do it, to be our present help through all this troublesome life. Lord God, may we recognize that. Work diligently, I ask You, in our hearts in this matter. Oh God, that we might be that living testimony of a living Savior who dwells within, who works within. God, I pray for Your blessing. Work in these moments of invitation. May You be glorified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.